Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Let's begin this morning with Thought Leader Thursday. Greg Warsek is in the chair this morning, Senior Vice President and Regional Manager for the Chicago Market for Commercial Real Estate at Associated Bank. Greg, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Great to be here, Steve.
I want to begin with a little bit of breaking news. We won't go into a lot of detail on it, but I know we've talked about this before, so I just had to bring this up. WeWork has hit 1 million square feet in Chicago. They're the biggest tenant now in the city of Chicago.
They are now the largest tenant, over 1 million square feet. Not surprising. You know, there's a bit of a space grab going on with the co-work companies here in Chicago, and WeWork is obviously the front runner and is now up to 1 million square feet in available space. They just leased another 90,000 square feet in the West Loop.
Who are the players here? Would it be United is in there probably, and who else are some of the big tenants?
You know, there's Industrious, there's WeWork, there's frankly, there's more. I just saw a recent study from one of the real estate companies, and it was far more than I expected. It was 40 or 50 companies, many that you've never heard of. I'm not sure how they're all going to fit in the space. My guess is there's going to have to be some consolidation at some point.
Right. Well, it kind of goes to the main conversation we want to have today, and that is things are going really well in the commercial real estate market, aren't they? Whether it's be rental or buying, it seems really strong.
Yeah, all indicators right now are that things are continuing to clip along really well. If lending, you know, loan demand is any indicator, I would tell you that we're on track to have a record year. And a lot of that is just the strong real estate market in all asset classes.
What would a record year look like on paper?
Well, today, year to date, our commercial real estate lending group is ahead of 2015 and 2016 new loan origination pace. And those were record years. Mm-hmm. Those were great years for all banks. And it was a really strong commercial real estate market in those years. So we're outpacing those years right now.
Did I read somewhere that we're approaching pre-recession levels, that we're almost back to those levels?
Yeah, some of the values are finally getting back to the pre-recession levels where things were a bit frothy. I think there's more underlying value now that to support, you know, higher rental rates, you know, better product. But yeah, it's still, we're seeing it across all asset classes too, which is interesting, and even in retail.
Mm-hmm. I saw a report too that when you compare us to some of the other big cities, and I think they threw in San Francisco and Los Angeles and New York, Chicago came out in a pretty decent way because of it's easier to build here.
Yeah, it's just, you know, one, there's just still more available land. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, some of the coastal towns have just run out. It's now a teardown environment, and it's just prohibitively expensive for land, for labor, for construction costs. So Chicago is starting to look more attractive, and we're starting to see more developers and investors come in from the coast.
What's being developed? Do we have a sense of what kind of businesses are going to take some of these spaces, or is it just all over the board, all across the board?
It's all across the board. I mean, we're seeing strength in, you know, for us, it continues to be apartments, industrial, and in retail, there's a lot of disruption in retail, but that creates new opportunities. And so we're seeing a lot of new interesting deals. And of course, office. There's a lot of activity in the office space right now.
Uh-huh. As we sit and have our conversation here, we can look out onto the city, and I see a couple cranes. The one that I think we all watch here most regularly is the Tribune Tower building that's being redeveloped to really pricey condos. That's the trend, isn't it?
Yeah, it's it's adaptive reuse, and those are interesting deals. I mean, that's an architecturally significant building, and it's great to see that the developer is going to, you know, preserve and highlight all those neat aspects of that historic building.
How will interest rates, the play on interest rates, impact all of this going forward? As we discuss this, you know, the Federal Reserve is wrapping up its meeting, and this week they discussed perhaps cutting interest rates at the next meeting. What are we going to see if that's the case?
I think this is all been surprising developments, quite honestly. I think when we were all sitting there at the beginning of the year, the expectation was that there was going to be 2 to 3 rate increases, and you know, to be at this point in the year to be talking about now no rate increases. And in fact, you know, if this tariff talk continues and, you know, rates could actually go down, I don't think anybody expected this. I'm not sure anybody had that predicted. And what it's doing, I think, is, you know, it's certainly not slowing down the commercial real estate environment, because one of the biggest issues that people were thinking about was, you know, when are the rates going to take off, both short and long term? And now we're seeing really a softening in both short and long term rates. So I think that's going to, you know, push this out even into 2020 in terms of the market still being favorable for development and all real estate activity.
Mm-hmm. That's good news to hear. And I know there's another story too that's out there about, with all the volatility we've been seeing in the bond market and also in the equities market, that commercial real estate might be a good investment play.
Yeah, usually in an increasing rate environment, the REIT stocks generally get hurt. But the reality is that the REIT stocks are a good place to play. I think the article that you're alluding to was talking more about crowdfunding, which is, you know, really come up in the last couple years in terms of a new way for people to actually invest equity in real estate deals, which is kind of interesting. I've been watching it. I certainly, it's not for me, but it's been fun to watch to see how they've developed these new platforms to allow people to be investors in commercial real estate deals.
When investors are looking at different projects to perhaps get involved with, are all of the potential sectors looking good? I know there's retail, and we've talked about retail before. You've mentioned office space this morning, but there are other things to invest in too, right? I mean, medical would be one of them, and some other developments, maybe even like grocery developments, those sorts of things.
Yeah, if you look at the crowdfunding platforms, they pretty much offer most asset classes. You can invest in individual projects, or you can kind of have a sort of commingled or diversified fund that they can create for you. But I'm a bit concerned because it's easy for people to do this, but the reality is that I'm not sure people fully understand the risk that they're taking. This is actually a limited partnership equity interest. That's the riskiest component of the capital stack. So if things do, if the market does turn on us, you know, not only could they not get a return, but they might not get their money back, because that's first loss is that equity position.
Mm-hmm. So what would be your advice if people are thinking about doing some of these investments?
I mean, if you really want to diversify into commercial real estate holdings, at the end of the day, I would say that the REIT space is a better place to be. It's publicly traded REITs. It's more liquid. A lot of this crowdfunding is not liquid or publicly traded. Or easily traded, I should say. So, you know, I think those are better capitalized entities to invest in, and you can do it both on the equity side, but some of the REITs actually do mortgages for commercial real estate as well.
Well, we've had a conversation before here on the program about opportunity zones. I know one of the last times you were in, we talked about how these zones that are set up across the country, the aim was to have investment in areas of communities that perhaps didn't get investment before. First of all, how's that working out? And I want to talk to you then about one of the trends here about how some of these opportunity zones have become popular and trendy areas where maybe they weren't supposed to be at all.
Yeah, I think I think the opportunity zone concept is a great concept. And I'm glad they created some tax incentives to encourage this capital investment. But with any program, there's going to be, you know, potential issues, and we'll see how this all plays out. But I'd say it's still too early, even though this tax law was passed some time ago. Some guidance on how it's going to work actually just came out. So I would say we're in the early innings, if you will, of opportunity zones and opportunity zone funds in particular. A lot of them have been announced, and they've thrown out big dollar amounts of what they intend to raise. Where they're at with actual investments in the funds and then actually deploying the funds into projects, I would say we're still, like I said, in the early innings. So it's something to watch because it could be meaningful, But like other programs, I guess your next question is going to be,
yeah, how are people cheating the program and using it in places where it's not meant to be?
Right. So, you know, the states were left to propose where they wanted the opportunity zones to be done. Governors did it. And if you actually look at the maps, it's kind of a head scratcher where some of these opportunity zones are. Some of them are very much deserving, but others, and you, the article that that you're looking at there is alluding to some of the cities that, you know, have most of the city, which really doesn't need it, especially in some of the trendy areas, are designated as opportunity zones.
Yeah, and this is a CNN story, and I know that I'm looking at. This didn't specifically focus on Chicago, but it's not hard to imagine that perhaps we might see this come here.
Yeah, we definitely have opportunity zones laid out in the Chicago area, and a lot of them are in the right place, in my opinion. I've actually financed a few projects that are in opportunity zones, but the developer actually didn't use the opportunity zone or the funds or raise their equity using the opportunity zone. So there are projects that are still viable without this designation. I'll give you one more local example down in Champaign-Urbana. All the area north of the university has been designated an opportunity zone. Probably doesn't need it.
That example you mentioned, is it that he just didn't need it, the developer didn't need it? Or has there been a bad job of publicizing what this is about? Or are people aware of it?
Well, you know, some of these developers, the case that I'm speaking of, it's a developer that tends to go into emerging areas. And so this was part of their business plan to begin with. And it just so happens it was designated as an opportunity zone. But they already have a stable of joint venture partners, and they just didn't need to use that vehicle. But again, each state had to designate a certain amount of opportunity zones, so they needed to use it somewhere, and they were on the clock to report. Mm. And so there was a time constraint that each state had to get this information in, so I think they did the best they could.
It might be one of those situations where we see some of these states go back in, and if there's an opportunity to revise some of these areas, that might be coming, right?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah. Greg, how can people get a hold of you and have a conversation one-on-one?
Best way to get me is by email, greg.worsek@associatedbank.com, or call me directly at 312-544-4645.
Great conversation. We'll see you next time.
Enjoy it. Thanks, Steve.
Greg Worsek, the Senior Vice President and Regional Manager for the Chicago Market for Commercial Real Estate at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader conversation. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGNradio.com on the Opening Bell page and at Associated Bank, too, at associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership.